Bible, Psalm 26, and we'll read this whole psalm as our text here. Be in prayer for those who are with us today, visitors who need the Lord. The Spirit of God was working in hearts today, and continue to pray for those who need to be saved.
All right. Psalm 26, the Bible says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would encourage us and instruct us this afternoon. We're so thankful that we have your word. Father, we're so thankful we have this church, a New Testament church to belong to invest our life into, to serve God from. And Father, I pray that you'd strengthen us, enable us, equip us for service unto the Lord. Father, for glory and honor to be given to the Lord through the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. As we read this psalm here, we could look at it and we could see all the times that the words "I have" are mentioned. David says in verse 1, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." He says, verse 4, "I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers." Verse 6, "I will wash my hands," and so on. And there's a lot of "I haves" and "I wills" and "I do's" in this passage of Scripture. And some might think it to be presumptuous or arrogant here. "I have walked in mine integrity, and I have done this, and I have done that." Someone might think it to be presumptuous or arrogant, flaunting himself to be some kind of a righteous person. But I see here, actually, a demonstration of what is in the heart of somebody who is truly, truly desiring to be pleasing to the Lord. David was one who had a completely devoted heart to God. Sure, he was a sinner. Sure, he failed, just like we all do. But at the heart of it all, David was one who was completely devoted to God. And that's what I want us to talk about here, some characteristics from this portion of Scripture that really are descriptive of somebody who is truly devoted to God. It's their characteristics that reveal what kind of a person we really are. There's a lot of people that say, "I love God and I'm devoted to God." But if that is really true, then there's going to be some things that prove that, that show that in the way that we live. It's not words that we say. And I think David is simply demonstrating wholehearted devotion to the Lord here. And so I want us to examine some of these features this afternoon of the wholehearted Christian. The first thing I want to point out to you is that a person who is truly devoted to God, who truly wants to be pleasing to the Lord, is somebody who desires to be tested of God. Look in verse 1. "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." Verse 2, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. try my reins and my heart. Here is the demonstration of somebody, somebody who is truly desirous of pleasing the Lord, is somebody who is open and who is willing to be tested of God. He has a desire here to be right with the Lord, to be pleasing with the Lord, to the Lord. That's why he says, prove me, try me, examine me, see if there's any wicked way in me. And that is truly a characteristic of somebody who is truly devoted to Christ. I want to be right with the Lord. I know I'm sinful. Lord, refine me, change me, prove me, test me, see if there's any wickedness in me. And if there is, show it to me so I can make it right with you. Sometimes that kind of an attitude or that kind of a heart that says, test me, prove me, try me, that sometimes means that there's going to be some purging. And with purging often comes hardship. This is the reason so often that people won't have that kind of an attitude with God. Purging is not pleasant often. People don't want hardship and trial in their life. But when God begins to turn the heat up in a person's life, often it's through trial and through hardship and through testing. David consistently displayed this kind of a heart attitude, though. See in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Here is the same sentiment. Search my heart. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wickedness in me, and show me. Job had that same kind of an attitude in his life. In Job chapter 13, Job said, make me to know my transgressions and my sins. Have you prayed that kind of a prayer? Have you had that kind of an honest relationship with God? Make me to know my transgressions and my sins. That would actually mean that we would have to come to the place, we would have to admit that I am not perfect. There might actually be something wrong with me. There might actually be a flaw in my character. There might actually be something about my personality that is not perfect. That's a hard thing for people to admit, though. I am the way I am. This is who I am. If you don't like it, too bad. When in reality, there might actually be something wrong with our character and a flaw in our personality that needs to change. Why does it need to change? So we can glorify God. So we can be right with God. So that we can be pleasing to the Lord. That's why it needs to change. Not because you're, you know, defective. Some of you might be, but so we can glorify God to a fuller degree in our life. And somebody who has this heart desire to please God and is devoted to God is going to say, Lord, search me. I know that I'm not perfect. There might be some things about my character that needs to change and my personality that needs to be more pleasant. Lord, change me. Show me. Why could David have this kind of an attitude, though, is the question. Is it because he was some special guy? And God, bring on the hardships, bring on the trials. I can take it. No. Verse 3 gives us an idea of why David had this kind of an attitude, a heart attitude. He said, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, This is the reason right here. The way that David viewed things. When David said, search me, try me. It might mean trial. It might mean hardship that comes my way. But I see that you're a loving and a kind God. Not a vindictive God or someone who is restrictive. But you're a loving and a kind God. And the changes that you would make in me are for my good and your glory. I see that. Okay, Lord, search me, try me. He didn't see testing and trying and purging, which is sometimes painful, as a negative thing. But he saw it as something that was good from a loving and a kind God who desired to get glory out of his life. But so often, we will not have this same heart attitude. And it's our pride that keeps us from having this attitude. It's pride that keeps us from receiving necessary instruction that is meant for our good. Because in our natural state, we don't like our faults being pointed out, do we? What, there's something wrong with me? Hey, you know, so-and-so, you have a tendency to be this way. And this tendency to be this way is negative. It's not productive. It's not productive in your Christian life. It doesn't help you glorify God, and it drives other people away. You might want to consider making some adjustments. What? How dare you talk to me that way? That's kind of the natural inclination. We don't want our faults pointed out because it injures our pride. And that's what keeps us from receiving the necessary instruction that would enable us to bring glory to God with our life. We won't ask the Lord to try us and to show us our faults and cause us to know our transgressions and our sins because we know the Lord will take us up on it if we actually ask Him that. And we need to submit ourselves to the testing and the trying hand of the Lord. Even when it's painful. Why? Because it's for our good and for His glory. And He's actually a loving and a kind God who actually wants to produce something good in our lives. I only design that which is good. The song that we just sang, "The dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The fiery trial, I only design good." To make us more like Christ. That's how we ought to view it. One who is wholly devoted to the Lord and truly desires to please the Lord and to be like Christ is going to be somebody who submits himself or herself to God's scrutiny of their life, even if it's painful, because they know that God designs good for them. That is a characteristic of somebody who is truly devoted to God. I want to be right with you. Test me. Try me. And it comes with the attitude of what a privilege it is for God to care for me and God who wants to work in me. That's a privilege. He's refining me. He's making me into the image of His Son that He would receive more glory from my life. Wow. So that's the first characteristic we see displayed here. And David, the second is in verse 3, the second part of verse 3, we read, "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." And here in the second part, he says, "And I have walked in thy truth." Somebody who is truly devoted to the Lord is going to be somebody who adheres to the Word of God for their life. David said, "I've walked in thy truth." To walk in His truth means that we walk in His ways. How do we find that? This book right here. The Word of God is what sets the course and the parameters of our life. We build our life and we walk in the truth of God rather than the imaginations of our own heart. Well, I think it's this way, and I think that this is okay. We can say, "I think," all day long, and we can talk ourselves into anything and justifying anything. about our character, about our personality, about the things that we do in life, the places we go, the people we hang out with. We can say, I think, and justify anything. The question is it biblical? Is it truth? I'm going to walk in the truth. I'm going to walk according to the Word of God. That is what is going to be the guide rail or the way of my life. What is it that would keep us from examining the things that we do in life and come and letting it come into the scrutiny of God's Word? There might be things that we like to do, entertainments, places we go, people we hang out, whatever. There might be things about us that we like to do. What would keep us, and it might not be like even, well, thus saith the Lord, this is wrong. It's not that. And there, it's somewhere else. What would keep us from letting the things of our life come under the scrutiny of God's Word? Well, it's something that I like. I don't want to change that. And the Word of God might actually straighten some things out, and I don't want to change that. That's sinful pride as well. What is it that keeps us from saying, whatever you want, Lord, is what I want. Whatever you want out of my life, then that's fine by me. Whatever you want in my life, then that's what I want too. What is it that keeps us from coming to those kinds of conclusions and then following through in practical living? Well, it's the stubborn, sinful will that doesn't want to give up control of the way that we live. Somebody would say, well, this is what I like. This is just the way I am. This is who I am. If you don't like it, lump it. That's the wrong attitude. The truly devoted saint of God is going to be willing to submit themselves to the scrutiny of God's Word. Are there things about our character? Are there things about our personality that should change? We have to ask ourselves that question. And then be willing to line it up with the Word of God, and then be willing to change. Look in verses 4 and 5. David said, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. Here is one who separates himself from the enemies of God. He says, I have not sat with vain persons. I won't go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. You know, somebody who is truly devoted to the Lord, has a heart to be right with God, is going to be somebody who separates himself from the enemies of God. If they're an enemy of God, they can't be a friend of mine. The evil communications of this world, they will corrupt the child of God. We're commanded in the Scriptures to come out from among them and be separate. Listen, we may not be hanging out with the unsaved crowd, as it were, but the influences of this world still take hold in the life, in the things that we allow into our life. We need to be careful, and we need to be willing to separate from those influences that would keep us from being truly devoted to Christ. The Christian who really loves God and really desires to be right with the Lord is going to be very careful as to what they allow to influence their life, especially if it's something of this world. Why? Well, because of that potential influence that it could have that would draw us away from Christ. Anything that could dethrone God in our life, anything, becomes the enemy of God. And the wholehearted Christian is going to be examining their heart and examining their life and then separating from that which would be an enemy of God. Listen, I mean, there are things that are not inherently sinful. Pleasures, entertainments, I mean, sports is a good example. They're not inherently sinful, but somebody could be so caught up in that thing, whether it's football season, whether it's playing sports themselves, athletics of some sort, whatever, they could be so wrapped up in that thing that it becomes a god to them. It consumes their life. It consumes their time. You know, they know every stat of every player on that team, and they're so into the fantasy football and all the other whatevers, they got hardly any time for God. That's an enemy of God. It's not inherently sinful until it becomes a god in your life. Then it is. And it's not a bad idea to examine and re-examine the things of our lives and say, is there anything that dethrones God in my life that consumes too much time? You know, and it's not sinful in and of itself, but it's just best for me to back away from that and not spend so much time on it because I need to spend time working on my relationship with God. Are you willing to do that? It's a passion. I love it. I can't do that. I mean, there are guys who probably live in Alaska who, you know, their wives are hunting widows because they never see their husbands, but however much time, because they're on some adventure and some excursion and this and that all the time. That could be a god. Would you be willing to say, you know, this, I see that this is maybe a weakness of mine, and it's not inherently sinful, but it does consume. You know what? This year, I'm just not going to go hunting. Why? Because you just hate it now all of a sudden? No, because I love God more. And I just don't want something to dethrone God in my life. Hey, that may not be a bad practice, a time or two, just to keep things in check. Make sense? It doesn't have to be that, but it's a ready-made example. What I'm saying is that one who is devoted to Christ, if there are those kinds of things that come up in life, he's going to separate himself. At least for a time, because he loves God more. That's not the only thing, though. Listen, Satan can't get you to worship him. If you're a child of God, he can't get you to worship him. But if he can keep you from worshiping God in some way, then he's gained a victory. Because God's not getting glory out of your life anymore. But you know, there's other things like relationships, for example. Relationships that do not edify and help build godliness in your life are those that, you know, you should at least keep at arm's length or even separate from altogether. Let it sink in. And sometimes, even inside a church, sadly, those kinds of things need to be done. Look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 17. So Paul is writing here, and he just gets done basically sending greetings to the church at Rome, and he lists all of these people, fellow laborers of the Lord. He says, greet this person and salute that person and salute this person, my friend, my co-laborer, the person I love. His whole chapter is all about that. And he gets to verse 17 and he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Paul said to these Roman believers, listen, there are some relationships that you probably need to keep at arm's length. You need to make a mark, and you need to avoid them. Because they don't serve the Lord, they serve their own belly. And the person who is truly devoted to Christ is going to be very careful about who and what they allow to influence their life. One who is truly devoted to Christ is going to be careful about those relationships too. And a relationship that doesn't edify, that doesn't help build godliness in the life, is not a relationship that needs to be getting closer and closer and closer. Looking back in our text in Psalm 26. Don't fall asleep on me. Come on. One of these days, I'm just going to surprise you and make you stand up and make you sing Father Abraham. Or we're going to have to change our service times so that people stay awake. I don't want to do that. Fight it. Come on. You can do it. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. David says, I will wash mine hands in an innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Here's another characteristic of somebody who is devoted to Christ. And here we find that that person desires to be right with others so as to be right with God. David says, I will wash mine hands in innocency. You know what that word means there? It means clearness. It means to be free. It means to be clean. And he says, I'm going to wash mine hands in innocency. I want to be clear. I want to be clean. I want to be free. And he talks about, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. In the Old Testament, the sons of Aaron washed their hands at the laver before they came to the altar of incense and into the presence of God. That's what he's referring to here. And he's talking about relationships with people, brothers and sisters in the Lord, to be right with brothers and sisters in the Lord in order to be right with God. In Matthew chapter 5, look at that. Look there with me. Jesus was talking about presenting a gift to the Lord. And note what Jesus says here is of primary importance or more importance. In Matthew 5, verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. He's talking about what's more important, of primary importance, is a right relationship one with another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read about how we are to examine ourselves before we come to the Lord's table. And if there's an issue between two, it needs to be dealt with. And the idea is, and the instruction is, that it's not okay for the saint of God to be harboring ill feelings or grudges or hurt feelings one toward another. Petty things. You know, I'm mad at so-and-so, and they did this, and they said that, and those things just continue on and continue to fester. It's not okay in the house of God to let those things go. We need to be right with our brothers and sisters, because if we are not right with our brother or sister, we cannot be right with God. The wholehearted, devoted Christian is not going to hold a grudge. Not going to harbor ill feelings towards others, because they desire above all to be pleasing to God. That's enough reason right there to make sure that if there are offenses and hurt feelings and so on, that we're going to go and deal with it and we're going to make it right. That's enough reason right there, because I want to be right with the Lord. There needs to be unity in the body of Christ. It's necessary. It's commanded of the Lord. And somebody who really wants to be right with God is going to have a desire to make sure that they're right with others too. Look at verse 8. Go back to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, look at verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. I just thought and meditated on this verse this week, and I was blessed, and I can't even share all with you that the Lord did for me, myself. But just thinking about this, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth, that's the place that I love. I want to be in the house of God. I want God to get glory and honor, and I want to be at that place, wherever that is. Prayerfully, it's right here. Amen? The person who really wants to please the Lord is going to be somebody who loves the house of God. Why? Because of who is there. The Lord delights in meeting with His people. The question is, do you? I don't understand. Other than there's got to be other priorities in life. And there's got to be things that just draw people away. But I don't understand those who habitually and continually miss church because of this and because of that and because of that. I don't understand it. I want to be where God is. I want God to get glory out of my life. I want to be in the place where God's people are. I want to be fed and nourished and built up and fellowship and give honor to God. How could you not love that? David said, I loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. There are sometimes, I've known people in the past, oh sure they come to church, but they're in and out before the sound of the last amen even stopped bouncing around the room. Oh, I was at church. Hey, where'd so-and-so go? Oh, they left before you finished the last syllable of amen. Out the door. Got other things to do. I love it when God's people hang around and fellowship and talk. Give glory to the Lord. Sometimes people are too concerned about themselves, though, and their life, than to be a blessing to other people. You know what? I think that's one thing that's completely missed. You coming to the house of God and loving the house of God, it's not really all about you. And your presence can be a blessing to other people. But when people are too selfish and too concerned about themselves, they don't stop to think about other people. They don't stop to think about being a blessing to someone else. And just a kind word and a handshake and some fellowship can be just what a struggling or hurting person needs. Do you love to fellowship with God's people, with the brethren? Bonding is very good for God's people. Talking about the Lord together blesses each other. It glorifies God. Are you concerned about giving honor to Him when you come here to this place? Do you love the habitation of God's house? Verse 12. David says, my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. You know what a wholehearted person does? He testifies of God. He gives praise to God for who He is. David said, in the congregation will I bless the Lord. Look at verse 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. A person who is truly devoted to Christ is someone who's thankful and who's willing to tell of all the wonderful works of God in his own life. Do you testify to your brethren? Hey, you know what God did for me this week? I've been praying and praying and praying for this particular thing, and here's what the Lord did. Let me share a blessing with you. When was the last time you did that? You know, it's easy to do that to brothers and sisters. It's easy to do that in church. But there's also a lost world out there that needs to hear us publish of the wonderful works of God in our life. We need to publicly praise the Lord and testify of what God has done for you. It's shocking to people out in the world. I don't know if you ever tried this or not. The last recollection or memory I have of this was just at the fair this fall or this summer here in Fairbanks. And just somebody had commented, I think I mentioned this before in church, somebody had commented about our family. They saw our girls and they saw us. And they were like, I could tell you guys are just wonderful parents. I was like, yeah, okay. But you know what I told him? I went back to him and I said, you know what, let me tell you something. I said, to God be the glory. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you noticed something. But let me tell you why. It's because of God and His grace. I'm not a perfect parent, but here's what we've tried to do. We've made it a purpose in our life to apply God's principles from the Bible in raising our children. And we're not perfect at it, but God has blessed us, and God has filled in the gaps for us in our imperfections. And if there's any good thing that you see, it's because of God and what He has done. The look on the guy's face was like he didn't know what to say. And he kind of just stutters like, that's the best thing I've ever heard is what came out of his mouth. But he was dumbfounded. But that's what a lost world needs to hear. Of the goodness and the grace and the wonderful works of God. Let me share with you how God changed my life. This is who I was. But this is who I am today because of God. The unsaved needs to hear that. David, in this psalm, is expressing not arrogance, not flaunting, I have done this, I've done that. That's not what he's doing. He's expressing his devotion to God and showing the character of a heart that is wholly devoted to God. Are these same qualities true about you? Do you desire to be tested of God? Do you love the habitation of God's house? Do you desire to separate from the things that would potentially dethrone God in your life? Do you desire to testify in praise of God's goodness? Do you desire to be right with your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Those are all good characteristics that prove what's really our heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd cause us to reflect and always be examining, always be looking at our life and our heart and the condition of it, and be willing to say, Lord, show me my iniquities, my sins. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, because I really want to be pleasing to you. And Lord, when you show me my flaws, Lord, I ask that you correct it, you change it. I'm willing for you to do whatever you need to do in my life. And Lord, I desire to please you, and I want to be right with my brothers and sisters. And Father, I just want glory to be given to your name through my life. Lord, cause us to have that kind of a heart attitude and just always be examining and re-examining the condition of the heart. Lord, that you draw us close to you. Father, that your hand would be on our lives, that people would see it and know it. And Lord, that we'd be able to cause men to give honor and glory to the Lord through our life. We love you today. So thankful for the time we've spent together. Lord, would you keep working in hearts? So thankful for the opportunity to preach the gospel. Father, for people who need the Lord and having the Spirit of God work in their heart today, it was very evident. Lord, I pray that you keep drawing them to a place of genuine salvation, repentance, And Father, we desire to see souls saved through the ministry of this church for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name.